Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. I'd like for you to call right now. Pick up that phone, because you can call straight into the studio at 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight to CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it as soon as possible on Basic Gospel. So again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call right now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We would love to hear from our listeners right now. Get the week started on the right note. 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call. All kinds of things to talk about. There's current events. How does the grace of God fit into these current events? How does the grace of God shape us as far as our thinking is concerned, as far as our attitudes are concerned, to handle the things that life throws our way? So we would love to talk with you about all of these and anything that you have on your mind. So call at 844-322-2742. Bob, I was reading this passage in Romans chapter 3. I've been spending a whole lot of time in the book of Romans entire year. And boy, is it a timely and relevant message. Of course, 100 years from now, anybody reading the book of Romans will step back and say, oh my gosh, that just speaks to me right in the events that I'm going through right now in my life. So this is never going to go out of fashion as far as a book is concerned, as far as a message is concerned. But here's an interesting two verses in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And I would love to see this happen on a universal scale. And it says this: now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Our destiny, our eternal destiny, is in the hands of God. It's not in our hands. There's no way that we can change the path that we were on when we came into this world. What path we were on was inherited from our parents, and they inherited from their parents, and all the way back to Adam and Eve after the fall, after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we come into this world in Adam, dead spiritually. And our destiny is going to continue down that path unless God intervenes on our behalf. Well, that's why we need our mouths to be shut, our mouths to be stopped. That's why we need to be held accountable to God. We need to see that reality so that grace can become something of importance to us. It's what God is full of. It's what Jesus Christ is full of, grace and truth, and he wants to bestow that grace upon us. But he's only going to give it to those who know the truth, who are willing to receive. It is those who have been humbled by reality and have come to the truth. Their mouths are shut. They're not going to stand before God and try to plead their case. They're just going to stand before him in silence and pray that God will extend mercy and grace instead of justice. And so I would just love to see this take place. Talk about a revival sweeping the world, going, you know, around and around and around until every knee bows and calls out that Jesus is Lord. But the law kind of brings us to that point. When we try to gain righteousness through obedience to the law, when we try to make ourselves right in God's sight through the law, we're going to stop. We're just going to come to that place and have a dead stop in life, and we're going to shut up. Our mouths are just going to lock shut, and we won't utter another word until we hear from God. And guess what we're going to hear from God? And guess what people have been hearing from God since the very beginning? And now the word is made even more clear to us in Christ. Here's what we're going to hear from God: that God is not counting our sins against us, that he has reconciled us unto himself through the death of Christ so that we could experience new life in him. so that we could be lifted up out of our circumstance of sin and death, that we could be set free, and that we could experience new life by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the word that we're going to hear. We don't want to shut up because we think our case, our destiny, is on our shoulders. And until we can come to the point and realize that it's not, it is in God's hands, we're going to keep trying to plead our case. We're going to keep speaking from a heart of pride, saying, Lord, I can do it. Lord, I can make myself righteous. Lord, I can, and if I fall flat on my face, I'm going to get up and try a little bit harder the next day. Well, none of that's going to work. We need our mouths stopped. We need to see that we're accountable to God so that we can hear the voice of God saying that all things have been made right in Christ. Just receive it by faith. And once we receive it by faith, then we can experience the freedom that comes from the grace of God. We can experience a genuine relationship with God the Father based on His love, grace, and mercy. Why was the law there? To stop our mouths, to shut them tight, so that we would recognize we're accountable to God, so that we could receive the grace of God and be made alive together with Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's Basic Gospel, friends. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast at roughly 6-7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can call and speak directly with us into the studio at basicgospel.net. Once again, 844-322-2742. And Bob, as we've been saying, this is a milepost month at Basic Gospel, as your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, has reached the five-year mark, helping readers discover that the Christian life is not about doing, but about resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Talk to us a little bit about Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, I wrote it 5 years ago, really to answer that question, how is the Christian life really supposed to work? And the reason that I wanted to write about that is because for so many years in my life, I didn't know how it was really supposed to work. And it was a very frustrating experience. And I just had to raise my hands and give up and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't be your guy. I can't live the Christian life. I don't measure up to your expectations. And at that point, I started getting some answers. When I finally gave up, when I shut my mouth for a minute or two, I finally could hear the truth. And that truth was the Christian life is by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish. So I discovered the way of grace. Well, in 40 years of being in ministry, or close to 40 years of being in ministry, I have heard that story repeated time and time and time again. People are struggling. People are frustrated. People are frustrated with their Christian experience. They want something different. Oftentimes I hear this phrase, I just feel like I'm stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
Well, this is a book that will unstick you. It will lift you out of that mud of legalism. It will lift you out of that sloth of human effort, and to put you on the fluid path of God's love and grace so that you can truly experience life to the full, forgiveness to the max, and freedom beyond measure.
Yeah.
So take advantage of this five-year anniversary opportunity to get this book, to read it for yourselves, and then pass it on to somebody else. That's kind of our plea this month. Let's get the word out. We're at a time in human history, we're at a time in our country, where people are desperately looking for answers. They feel confused, they're disoriented, they're disconnected, they're disenchanted, they're all of these things. And there's only one message that can cut through all of that and speak directly to the hearts of people. And that is the message of Jesus, the message of His love and grace. Well, this is a fantastic resource to help get that word out to people, to connect them to the love of Jesus Christ. So we want you to go to simplegospelsimplygrace.com, buy a single copy if that's what you want to do, buy multiple copies. Let's get the word out and get the grace of God out into the public square at a time where it's needed the very most.
Absolutely. Basic Gospel Nation can come together and make that happen. Friends, we hope you'll be a part of that. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Bob, we had this question from Ron, who wrote to us from Louisiana. He says, I know the Bible puts emphasis on being a member of a local church body. I agree with that. However, I do not agree that you have to sign a membership card to be held accountable under the leadership of a church. I have attended my church for 8 years, was on the worship team, helped with the sound system, been a part of a singles group, also helped with the local ministry. My question is, biblically, can I grow, worship, be held accountable, and so forth without signing a membership card? My pastor told me that he cannot shepherd me effectively if I cannot be held accountable to the body by him and the elders without signing the membership card. I quit going to church because I was wrestling with this issue. No one from my church gave me a call to check on my well-being. I am deeply hurt yet again by another church that I love and care about. Some people tell me I have a problem with authority, but I think I have a problem with people adding to God's word. Please tell me if I'm wrong here. Shoot to me straight.
Well, Ron, we will, and I don't think your question is out of line at all. There are many churches that their way of governing things, their way of putting their local church together is to have a high structure for accountability, and that begins with the membership process. That begins with going through a class on what it means to be a member of that particular local church. And then once you've gone through that class and you've agreed to kind of their protocol and how they've structured it, then you sign a card and you strike a covenant with that particular church, that you agree to support the church with your finances, your prayers, your time, and you also agree to submit to the authority of the elder. So if you mess up, you have trouble in your life, then they're the ones that you go talk to about that particular issue, or you've given them the right to speak into your circumstance at that particular time. Well, none of that's biblical. You're not going to find that in the Word of God of developing a membership class or developing a covenant contract then force people to sign it. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. That's just how a local assembly is choosing to run their church. So if you don't agree with that, don't stick around.
Yeah.
There are many other churches that don't have that. They'll just welcome you. Our friend Andrew Farley, his church out in Lubbock, Texas, the church out there, they don't have memberships, and they don't have to sign a card. You don't have to do any of those things. You're a part of that body if you choose to go. And if you are truly a born-again believer, you're already a member of the church. You're already connected to the body of Christ. The Spirit has already placed you into the body of Christ. So you're a member. Now, if you go to a local assembly, they should welcome you in as a member, and you should be able to serve. But that's my way of thinking. There are other churches that don't do it, and you've obviously encountered one of those. If I'm in your shoes, I turn and run. Mm-hmm. Now, for a pastor to tell you that he cannot shepherd you effectively or hold you accountable because you haven't signed a membership card, to me, that is just absolute hogwash. That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. That is just somebody choosing not to shepherd you because you don't fit into kind of what their expectations are as far as their members are concerned. If he wanted to effectively shepherd you and be involved with you in your life, he could choose to do so outside of signing the membership or not. It's like somebody coming into a church and you know, they're going through a really difficult time in life. They're looking for help and looking for answers. And pastor says, well, we can't help you until you join our church, until you sign this membership card. It's somebody going into an emergency room with, you know, blood pouring out. It's like, I'm sorry, until you sign the membership card for this hospital, we can't, we can't effectively deal with you. Like I said, I think that's hogwash. And Ron, you know, if I'm in your shoes, I find another place where it's set up in a way that fits more with your thinking, instead of having to fight against that, you know, in the church that you were going to.
Right. Ron, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Don't hesitate to reach out again. It's a great question, and we appreciate hearing from you.
How'd you like getting the word hogwash in?
Hogwash,
a couple
of times. I did notice that. I also sensed your frustration at this issue with Ron was talking about, which I understand as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you're listening in the U.S. and Canada, that's a toll-free number, of course, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from Amy, who wrote to us from Detroit. Amy says, please go into more detail about the mark of the beast. I am a Christian, and I'm afraid I will unknowingly take the mark. I have heard conflicting things about what it actually is. Some have said it's a tattoo. Others say it is a concept. Thank you for your response. She says, I listen daily. And as a matter of fact, earlier today I was watching a YouTube video where it says that the Gates Foundation wants to give everyone vaccines, but they want to add a nanochip inside. And so they're worried about that being the mark of the beast.
Mark of the beast, yeah. Yes, indeed. And there's all kinds of speculations on what that mark of the beast is going to be. I know when credit cards first came on the scene, many people thought the credit card would be the mark of the beast. And, it, you know, people tie that to the fact we're going to have to take that in order to just function in society, to be able to go to a grocery store and buy food and all of those sort of things. But I want to take it just a little bit deeper. The first thing I want to say to you, Amy, is this, that since you're a believer, you've already been marked out by God as one of his very own. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I want to point you to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, all the way down to verse 14. And you're going to see that you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So you've been adopted into sonship. You've been redeemed. You've been chosen. You have forgiveness of sins. You have a brand new identity in Christ as a child of God. And you have received the gift of God's Spirit. God has put the Spirit in you as a deposit guaranteeing your eternal inheritance. So you've already been marked out by God as a child of God. Now, these marks, back in the Old Testament, you saw that folks were supposed to carry the word of God on their forehands and on their forearms. Mm-hmm. And we see in Judaism, even today, in some of the Orthodox sects, that at the time of prayer, they will put a phylactery on their head and they will wrap their forearms. Well, what are they doing? They are putting Deuteronomy 6:4, you know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, on their forehead and on their forearms. Well, what does that symbolize? This is what we believe, and this belief is shaping how we act. So it's belief translated into action. So when we take the mark of God and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have an internal belief, a new belief system. We were once unbelievers, but now we are believers in Christ Jesus. So the sin of the world was unbelief in Jesus. The Holy Spirit, in bringing the gospel to us, changes that. So we get a new heart. So internally, at the very core of who we are shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are connected. We are in union with God's Spirit. So we have this internal belief. We've been sealed internally. And that belief in Jesus Christ now spells itself out in action as far as this new life that we've been given. And that new life that we've been given looks a lot like love. So Paul, for example, says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So these things mark us out as believers in Christ, and these things are sourced by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. So we have God's Spirit living inside of us. God's Spirit has given us a new heart, so that marks us as a child of God. And then that new heart, which is a believing heart, lives a life of faith in Jesus and manifests that faith in love one toward another. So those are the marks of the believer. Now, as far as the marks of the beast, we have the world system that's out there, and those that reject Christ are already bearing the marks of things that are anti-Christ, and as much as what they believe and as much as what they live out in their experience. So when it talks about the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation, it's talking about belief and action. It's talking about those that are going to rise up with the Antichrist, going to rise up with the beast and say, we stand in union, in harmony, in togetherness against the one true God that has been manifested to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We're going to rise up in rebellion against the truth.
Yeah.
So that's what the mark of the beast is. Amy, you don't have to worry about that. You've already been marked out as someone who belongs to the Lord by the Holy Spirit who now lives in you.
Yeah. So, Amy, thanks for your question. Great to hear from you. And, Bob, a quick question from Kathy in Atlanta. How do we respond to many Christians who have always attended church, volunteered in some capacity in that church, and who say they have been a good person and think that merits eternity with God?
Well, it doesn't merit eternity with God. We cannot work our way out of sin and death. That's why we have to be saved by grace. So anyone that is having a conversation with another person and this other person brings up this as their understanding of how somebody gets into heaven, that the scales of justice are going to be tipped because they've done more good works than bad works, I think that's an opportunity just to lay out what the Word of God actually says. And I encourage people to take folks to Ephesians chapter 2, because Paul is really clear in laying out our condition apart from Christ, the fact that we're dead in trespasses and sins, and that we are by nature children of wrath. He also lays out the goodness of God, but God, because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive together with Christ. We are saved by grace. So this is a great passage, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, to take somebody with, just to show them that based on the Word of God, it is all by grace.
All by grace, absolutely. Well, friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. If you have a Bible question or need scriptural guidance for an issue you may be struggling with, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. And we've had a lot of wonderful comments about Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Here's one now.
Have you read Simple Gospel, Simply Grace? It's been changing lives all over North America for the past 5 years. From Salem, Oregon, here's what Kobe recently said.
I was just calling to say how awesome your book is, Simply Gospel, Simply Grace. It has changed my life. I read the first chapter and I just started crying. It was amazing that what grace has done for me, finally realizing what grace is all about.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Join Kobe and find out how your Christian life is really supposed to work. For one or multiple copies, visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
I'm alive again, all because of the book.
What Kobe said was, I'm alive again, all because of the book. Order yours today from SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.